Right, so everybody thinks they know Queen Elizabeth the First, right? The Virgin Queen, Spanish Armada. But we're gonna go a little deeper with this biography, Queen Elizabeth the First, the Virgin Queen who shaped an empire, and just see how she really came to power and how she became such an icon.
You know, it's really interesting you say you think you know her story because Elizabeth was incredibly skilled from a young age at shaping her own narrative.
You're saying there's more to it than meets the eye. I'm intrigued, but let's start at the beginning. Elizabeth's childhood was, to put it lightly, pretty messy. Daughter of Henry VIII, you got the whole Anne Boleyn situation. It's a lot.
It's more than just a lot. It's key to understanding all of it. I think Henry VIII's obsession with a male heir really set the stage for a very treacherous childhood.
Right.
Anne Boleyn's execution when Elizabeth was just 2.5 years old. That's a trauma that, you know, we see echoing throughout her life.
Yeah, it's heavy stuff to deal with as a toddler, and then to be declared illegitimate, basically pushed aside. I imagine it would be easy to just sort of disappear at that point.
But that's where I think Elizabeth's resilience really shines through. Even with limited resources, she focused on her education. Her tutor even remarked that she had a mind of manly wisdom,
Right.
which in those times,
Wow, in those times, that's a statement.
that's a
Yeah,
statement.
she sounds like she was a force to be reckoned with even from a young age, but things didn't exactly get easier from there, right? I mean, you've got the whole Tower of London imprisonment thanks to her half-sister Mary the First.
Right, and that imprisonment wasn't just, you know, some sort of dramatic family feud.
Right.
This was a very crucial moment for Elizabeth. Think about it. You're facing death accused of conspiracy, and yet she survives it. It honed her political instincts and taught her how to maneuver within this very dangerous world of court. And these were skills that she was going to put to good use when she finally took the throne.
Okay, so let's get to that. 1558 rolls around. Elizabeth becomes queen. England at this point is dealing with religious turmoil, financial instability, not exactly a smooth transition. What were those first few years like?
England desperately needed stability, but Elizabeth, this young, unmarried queen, chose to confront the chaos head on. One of her first major acts was the Elizabethan Religious Settlement, and this was really a masterclass in pragmatism. She established the Church of England without completely alienating Catholics. It was a very delicate balancing act that I think really prevented further division.
That's pretty savvy. I mean, you could have easily gone all in on one side or the other. But then there's the other big question that followed her throughout her reign, marriage. And it seems like every royal in Europe was vying for her hand.
Oh, yeah, the pressure to marry and produce an heir was immense, but Elizabeth used it to her advantage. She turned courtship into this diplomatic tool, you know, stringing suitors along to keep them and the countries that they represented on her side.
Wow.
It was brilliant strategy, veiled as royal romance,
And then, of course, you have that iconic line, I am married to England.
which was more than just a clever quip. It was a declaration of power. She was telling the world that she was putting her country first, even above the, you know, societal expectations of marriage and motherhood. And it really resonated with her subjects. It solidified her image as this strong, independent ruler.
That's incredible. It's almost like she was consciously building her own myth, her own brand. But even with all her political savvy, she couldn't escape family drama, right? Enter Mary, Queen of Scots, her cousin and rival to the throne.
Oh, the relationship was a total powder keg. Mary, a Catholic with a claim to the English throne, represented this constant threat to Elizabeth's power. And it wasn't just personal. This was a clash of religion and political ambition.
And then Mary fled to England for protection, and Elizabeth ends up imprisoning her talk about awkward family reunions.
I know it put Elizabeth in a very, very difficult position. Mary's presence in England fueled Catholic plots and rebellions, so keeping her in prison for nearly 2 decades was a strategic move, but it also demonstrates Elizabeth's willingness to make these tough and sometimes ruthless decisions.
Which leads us up to one of the most dramatic moments of Elizabeth's reign, Mary's execution. I mean, that's not a decision you make lightly, especially when it involves your own family.
It was a pivotal moment that showed that Elizabeth was willing to put the security of her nation above family ties, even if it meant incurring the wrath of other European powers.
And wrath she did incur. King Philip II of Spain was furious, which brings us to the infamous Spanish Armada.
Think about the scale of this threat, this massive fleet sent to invade England, topple Elizabeth, and restore Catholicism. The stakes couldn't have been higher.
I can't even imagine what must have been going through Elizabeth's mind at that moment.
She knew the odds were stacked against her, yet she rallies her troops with that powerful speech at Tilbury proclaiming that she had the heart and stomach of a king. And it wasn't just bravado. The English fleet, though smaller, was more maneuverable, had superior firepower. They used clever tactics combined with some fortunate storms to really cripple the Armada.
So it wasn't just sheer luck, there was actual strategy involved.
Absolutely. The English victory wasn't a fluke. It really showcased their naval prowess and adaptability qualities that would become hallmarks of, you know, their future dominance at sea.
Right.
And this victory cemented Elizabeth's status as this legendary leader, a defender of the faith and of her nation.
It's amazing how a single event can just have such a profound impact on history. But let's not forget, this wasn't all about battles and politics.
Yeah.
Elizabeth's reign also saw this explosion of art and culture.
Right, you're talking about the Golden Age.
Yeah.
The defeat of the Armada ushered in this era of peace and prosperity, paving the way for a cultural renaissance. This is where we see the emergence of giants like William Shakespeare, Christopher Marlowe, Edmund Spenser.
Shakespeare? I mean, come on, who hasn't heard of Romeo and Juliet or Hamlet? It must have been incredible to experience those plays for the first time.
Imagine the Globe Theater packed with people from all walks of life, captivated by these stories of love, betrayal, and ambition. It was a golden age for literature. And it's no coincidence that it blossomed under Elizabeth's patronage.
She must recognize the power of the arts, not just for entertainment, but also for shaping public perception.
Oh, she was a master of image control. Remember those portraits we talked about earlier?
Uh-huh.
During this time, they reached a whole new level of sophistication, projecting this image of power, wisdom, and even divine right. Elizabeth wasn't just a queen, she was an icon, carefully crafted and presented to the world.
It's amazing how she managed to balance these different aspects of her rule, the military victories, the cultural flourishing, the political maneuvering. But what about her personal life? Was it all about duty and strategy, or was there room for well love?
That's a fascinating question. There's been much speculation about her relationship with Robert Dudley, the Earl of Leicester. They were close friends for decades, and some historians believe that their bond went deeper than friendship.
It's intriguing to think about what went on behind the scenes, especially since Elizabeth kept so much of her personal life private.
That privacy is part of what makes her so enigmatic. She revealed what she wanted to reveal, controlling her narrative, even in matters of the heart.
It sounds exhausting, to be honest. Always having to be on, always strategizing. Did this take a toll on Elizabeth as she got older?
Even the most powerful rulers are human, and time takes its toll on everyone as Elizabeth aged. She faced new challenges, both personal and political.
What kind of challenges?
Well, imagine losing the people you trust most, the ones who've been by your side for decades. Elizabeth experienced that profound loss in her later years. Robert Dudley died in 1588, and Sir Francis Walsingham, her trusted spymaster, followed in 1590.
Losing those close to you is hard enough. But when you're a queen, it also means losing invaluable advisors, confidants who understand the burdens of leadership.
Exactly. It's a double blow. And alongside these personal losses, Elizabeth faced growing unrest in Ireland, draining resources causing political headaches. The economic situation in England also became strained. The Golden Age was starting to lose its shine.
So the challenges were piling up. Did this impact Elizabeth's public image?
If we look at her portraits from this period, we see a shift gone are the vibrant colors and youthful energy. She's still portrayed as powerful, but there's a somberness and acknowledgement of the passing of time.
Almost like she was mirroring the nation's mood from the optimism of victory to a more reflective, perhaps even melancholic outlook.
That's a great observation. The portraits tell a story not just of Elizabeth's personal journey, but also of England's evolving national identity.
It makes you wonder how Elizabeth as a person dealt with these changes, these losses. Did she ever express any personal doubts or regrets?
It's hard to say for sure, as Elizabeth was incredibly guarded, but we do know that in 1603 she fell seriously ill. It's said that she refused to lie in bed, fearing that if she did, she would never rise again.
What a powerful image. Even in the face of death, she clung to her role as queen, her duty to her nation.
That unwavering commitment to her role is a defining aspect of her legacy. Elizabeth ruled until her very last breath, dying on March 24th, 1603, at the age of 69.
So the Tudor dynasty ends with Elizabeth. What a remarkable reign. But how do we even begin to sum up her impact on England, on history?
It's no easy task, Elizabeth. I was more than just a monarch. She was a transformative figure. She took a nation on the brink of collapse and guided it to become a global superpower. She secured the Protestant Church of England, which has had a profound impact on religion and culture to this day. And of course, she presided over a period of unparalleled artistic achievement, an era that still captures our imagination.
You know, it's funny, when we started this deep dive, I thought I knew the basics of Elizabeth's story, but now I realize there's so much more to her than the history books tell us.
That's the beauty of digging deeper, of going beyond the surface level. Elizabeth, I was a complex and fascinating figure, and her reign offers endless opportunities for exploration and interpretation.
So what are some of the key takeaways from all this? What can we learn from Elizabeth the Race, even all these centuries later?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Elizabeth, the first reign wasn't just about one woman's life. It was about the forces that shaped an era and laid the groundwork for a future beyond anything she could have imagined.
Wow, that's deep.
Think about it. The rise of England as a global power, the flowering of the English Renaissance, the seeds of what would become the British Empire, these are massive, world-altering developments.
And to think it all happened under the watchful eye of this one remarkable queen, it's mind-blowing.
Absolutely. And it makes you wonder, what kind of leader would Elizabeth I have been if she'd been born in a different time with different challenges?
Ooh, that's a good question.
And how would her story be different if she were ruling in our modern world with all its complexities and global interconnectedness?
Okay, you've officially blown my mind. Mm-hmm. This is why I love these deep dives. They always leave me with more questions than answers. So you're saying that even though Elizabeth I lived centuries ago, her story still has something to teach us today?
Absolutely. Her reign is a case study in leadership, in navigating complex political landscapes, in balancing personal desires with the demands of power, in making tough choices that have lasting consequences. These are themes that are as relevant today as they were in Elizabethan England.
It really is amazing how much we can still learn from someone who lived like centuries ago. I feel like I've been on a time traveling adventure, but without the whole paradox issue.
That's what's so captivating about history. You know, it's not just a collection of dates and facts. It's a tapestry of human experiences, triumphs and failures that really resonate across time.
And Elizabeth's story, with all its complexities and contradictions, is a prime example of that. But for our listeners who want to dive even deeper, where should they go from here? What are some resources they can explore?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the biography we've been discussing, Queen Elizabeth I, the Virgin Queen Who Shaped an Empire, is an excellent starting point. It provides a really comprehensive overview of her life and reign.
Yeah, it's definitely going on my reading list. But beyond that specific book, what other avenues would you recommend for learning more about Elizabeth and her era?
Well, there are tons of great books out there, both scholarly and popular, that delve into specific aspects of Elizabeth's life, her political decisions, her relationships, and her impact on English culture. A quick search online or a visit to your local library will reveal a treasure trove of resources.
And what about documentaries? I always find those helpful for bringing history to life.
Documentaries are a fantastic way to engage with history visually, and there are several excellent documentaries on Elizabeth I that explore her life, her reign, and her legacy, often featuring insights from historians and experts.
And don't forget about films and TV shows. They might not always be historically accurate, but they can definitely spark an interest in learning more. I mean, who can resist a good period drama with lavish costumes and royal intrigue?
Absolutely. There have been countless portrayals of Elizabeth I in film and television, some more historically accurate than others, but all offer a glimpse into how her story continues to fascinate and inspire us today.
And for those who prefer a more hands-on approach to history, what about visiting some of the places that played a role in Elizabeth's life?
That's a wonderful idea. England is full of historical sites with connections to Elizabeth House. You can visit the Tower of London, where she was imprisoned as a young woman, or Hampton Court Palace, one of her favorite royal residences. These places bring history to life in a way that books and documentaries simply can't.
It's like stepping back in time. I can already picture myself wandering through those grand halls, imagining Elizabeth walking those same corridors.
And don't underestimate the power of simply talking to people who share your interest in history. Join a book club, attend a lecture, or strike up a conversation with a fellow history buff. Sharing insights and perspectives can really enrich your understanding in ways you might not expect.
That's so true. Sometimes the best learning happens in those informal conversations where you can bounce ideas off each other and explore different interpretations of historical events.
Exactly. Learning about history should be an ongoing conversation, not just a passive absorption of facts.
Well, I think we've given our listeners plenty to think about and explore. This deep dive into the life and reign of Queen Elizabeth the Coast has been truly fascinating. I know I've learned so much, and I'm already eager to delve even deeper into some of the topics we've touched on today.
I'm delighted to hear that Elizabeth I's story is full of surprises and complexities, and there's always something new to discover.
As we wrap up, is there one final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with? something to ponder as they continue their own explorations of Elizabeth I.
As you continue to learn about Elizabeth, I consider this. How did she manage to navigate such a treacherous world full of political, religious, and personal challenges and emerge as one of the most iconic rulers in history? What qualities did she possess that allowed her to not only survive but thrive in such turbulent times?
Those are excellent questions. It makes me want to go back and re-examine everything we've discussed to look for clues to those very questions.
And that's the beauty of history. It's an ongoing journey of discovery, a puzzle with endless pieces to assemble.
Thank you so much for being our guide on this historical adventure. It's been an absolute pleasure.
The pleasure was all mine.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of Queen Elizabeth III. We'll be back soon with another fascinating topic to explore. Until then, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep the spirit of discovery alive.